Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 1st, 2022. My new article on LinkedIn, Nothing Frightens More Than Losing Face. Of all our fears, probably the one that is the most intense is the fear of losing face, of being shamed. To most of us, our self-respect means more than anything else. If we lose it, we often prefer to die. No other species besides humans has it. Animals think only about leading their lives as physically comfortable as possible. If they meet a stronger animal, they retreat without a second thought, and certainly without embarrassment. We, on the other hand, might choose to confront those who are considered stronger than us, in the hope that it will earn us respect, or because we are embarrassed to confess that we are weaker than someone else. The complications resulting from this respect-driven behavior are enormous. However, for all the trouble the pursuit of honor causes us, it is also the engine of human development. Were it not for the yearning to supersede others, we would not develop civilization and would still be as savage as our ancestors who lived in caves or slept in trees for fear of being eaten by animals. Take, for example, the 8-year-old boy who just climbed El Capitan together with his father. The cliff, a towering granite monolith about 3,000 feet, 914 meters, high in Yosemite National Park, California, is one of the world's ultimate challenges for climbers. What drove his father to put him in such risk? The desire for fame, the pursuit of honor, as the father himself said, "What an amazing week. I'm so proud of Sam," the boy's name. To many people, respect means more than their physical life. Evidently, in some cases, it means more than their children's lives. The farther we move from the animate level and into the human level, the more we value respect, and the less we mind our physical existence. We envy anyone and everyone who achieved something that we consider praiseworthy because we want the praise. Some people even envy famous people from many generations ago, such as great rulers or conquerors. Others wish to be the greatest of all time in their field and hope their achievements will outlive their physical life long after they are gone. Yet, the yearning for respect is not inherently negative. There is a good purpose for everything, including the pursuit of respect. Chasing it, this pursuit makes us polish and improve our values and goals. It lifts us from physical desires to spiritual ones, and eventually drives us to relinquish our very nature because its self-centeredness seems dishonorable to us. When that happens, and our own selfish pursuit of respect leads us to want to become unselfish, we realize that had it not been for the pursuit of honor, we would not have come to such a sublime and noble goal. As we polish and repolish our values, we come to realize that transcending the yearning for respect and concentrating on others rather than on ourselves is the most honorable, admirable, and worthy goal. A person who has come to this will no longer pursue respect and will avoid the complications that accompany this craving. Moreover, such a person will be kind to others, and not in order to gain their respect, but because kindness itself is the quality most worthy of respect. Society plants in our minds all kinds of ideas about what is respectful and what is not. Often, these ideas are detrimental to us, or to others. One who has risen above the dependence on society's respect will not be influenced by fleeting, negative ideas about what is respectful. That person will feel that submission to one's own ego is the most dishonorable state there is, and caring for others is the most admirable. When doing the admirable thing becomes people's motivation for action, the world will be a great place to live in. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, What I Find in the Wisdom of Kabbalah. A couple of weeks ago, a journalist from the French women's paper magazine Femitid wrote me asking if I would be willing to answer a question for an article she was writing about the wisdom of Kabbalah. Her question was, what Dr. Leitman is trying to discover through Kabbalah. adding that she intends to include my answer in her piece. I was happy to answer her because I am very pleased that there is interest in the wisdom of Kabbalah in France, but even more so because it is a women's magazine, and the increasingly prominent role that women are playing in society, much to my delight, makes it all the more important that they know what is Kabbalah and what it gives. Over the years, there have been many myths about what is Kabbalah, and all kinds of myths and stories about magic and esoteric ideas have been attached to it. True, authentic Kabbalah has nothing to do with mysticism, magic, amulets, or anything of the kind. The wisdom of Kabbalah studies natural, physical forces, just as Newton's physics studies physical forces. The difference between the forces Newton studied and the forces that Kabbalah studies is that instruments cannot detect the forces that Kabbalah talks about. In order to study the forces that the wisdom of Kabbalah discusses, we need to change our very selves, our nature. Our inherent nature focuses on self-interest. As a result, we see the world as separate elements locked in a struggle for survival. Kabbalah proves that in truth, there is no struggle, there is complementarity and mutual support. However, in order to discover this, we need to change our perception of the world from egocentric to holistic and inclusive. Otherwise, we will misinterpret everything we see, according to our egoistic minds. Once we change ourselves, we find that the world consists not of elements that fight against each other for survival, as in the motto, the survival of the fittest. Rather, the forces of the universe balance and support one another. The battle exists only in our minds, but we cannot see this until we acquire a new perspective, as if shifting from a two-dimensional vision into a three-dimensional vision. The wisdom of Kabbalah espouses caring for others, solidarity, and unity. It does so not only because it is nicer to live this way, although it certainly is. If this were the only motivation, we would be in a constant struggle against our nature, which constantly strives to return to narcissism. The wisdom of Kabbalah advocates pro-social, pro-humanity values because when we expand our vision and can see others, we see the actual reality and begin to perceive the forces that a self-centered mind cannot grasp. Once we discover how the world really works, we will never return to selfishness. This is why I study Kabbalah, to change myself and to see the world as it really is. As part of my efforts, I also teach Kabbalah because once you realize the gift it gives those who study it, you cannot keep it to yourself, as nothing would be more selfish than keeping such a gemstone hidden from the world. To find out more about Kabbalah, please visit my website, my personal webpage, or our Kabbalah courses. From Spiritual Attainment. Question: The Torah is written in the language of branches. For example, in the Torah the word Egypt, Mitzrayim, means concentration of evil, Mitzrah. That is, a Kabbalist feels the evil of his egoistic nature, but calls it Egypt. In our world there is such a country or, say, a place. This is clear. But when a Kabbalist says such terms as Keter, Hochma, Bina, Zir and Pin, there is no manifestation of such words in our world. Where are their branches? Answer: partly, they are manifested. In our world there are words like Keter, Hochma, Bina, although we use them in a completely different context. But there are also terms that are not used in our world. Kabbalists derived them from their spiritual attainment. In other words, there are spiritual objects that do not manifest in the material world. And there are those that do manifest, so we by seeing the branches can name them. Comment: but if we can't name them, then Kabbalists came up with all sorts of names. For example, ten sephirot, which actually do not mean anything. Answer: this is not made up but derived out of their attainment. For example, why did they call the mountain in Jerusalem the Mount of Olives? Because they saw that it was suitable for planting olive trees on it. And so with the other words. That is, if a person does not have spiritual attainment, he cannot research anything in Kabbalah. From Cab TV's The Study of the Ten Sefirot, Tess, October 16, 2022. We still want to get to the next cell. Suppose you succeed in breaking the wall with your head. And what, then, will you do in the next cell? Stanislaw Jerzylek question. The author completely believes that we are in prison one way or another. We are constantly hitting and hitting a wall. Answer, that's right. The entire history of humanity is like this. But we still want to get to the next cell. Question. I would like to believe that I am hammering away and somewhere I will break through a tunnel and come out into the light, but in fact, am I just trying to get into the next cell? Answer, yes. No tunnel leads anywhere because we are digging in the wrong direction. It is necessary to dig not into the next cell, but into yourself. We can dig into ourselves only if we agree on very serious mutual support, and we will really dig. Then we will dig up a huge mountain of egoism. We can help each other climb it. Once we climb it, we will sit down and barbecue some kebabs. Question: what is on our skewers? What are we barbecuing? Is it our own egoism? Answer: yes. There are so many problems and scrutinies before we come to the correct state. It is because religions, philosophies, psychology, and everything around makes it all so foggy, even dark, that a person does not know which way to move. Any step can lead you around 360 degrees, in circles, but a thin line to the true state is anti-egoistic. We must join hands and walk, and constantly annul ourselves, close our eyes, and obey the others. This is what we need to do together. If we all do that, if we join our hands and hold on to each other, and although no one knows the way, but we hold on to each other and keep going, and every step we take forward is just to be closer to each other, in this case, we will get to the right place. Question: then will then the tunnel be not from cell to cell, but toward the way out of prison? Answer: yes. From Cab TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, December 27, 2021. Conditions for forming a new person. Very often people who are starting to study Kabbalah come with an approach to our world that now we will set up a system, it will start working, and everything will be fine. And then they are faced with the fact that this approach does not work here, and therefore they leave. They rely on their brains and do not understand that spiritual attainment requires a new mind, new feelings, and a completely different human internality. He must change the entire program in his computer, increase memory, increase speed, make a complete upgrade, and install a new program, then the person will completely change. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Victory is a sign of defeat, August 2, 2013. Reincarnations, where does the previous soul go? Question: if the soul of a person is exchanged, if he is given another one, where does the previous one go? Answer: it does not go anywhere. There are reincarnations of souls all the time, they move from one state to another. In general, there is only one soul in the world, and all that happens to it is the development of its constituent parts. We see the world as differentiated, divided into different souls that are clothed in different bodies. But if you look with different eyes, it is one soul. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, October 9, 2022. Secrets to a Happy Marriage. Comment: five married couples who have lived together for over 50 years shared their secrets for a happy relationship. Here is what each couple considers to be most important. Tell us what you think, please. One 81-year-old couple, married for 57 years, believe that the most important thing in a long and happy marriage is sharing responsibilities. My response: of course. Question: And what does sharing responsibilities entail? I am the breadwinner and my wife is a housewife taking care of the children? Answer, that would be best. Comment, second is to know each other's strengths and weaknesses. My response, yes. Question, do you know your wife's strengths and weaknesses? Answer, I know them very well and I do not touch them. I am afraid too. In fact. Question, is this how it should be? Answer, yes. Comment, third is the ability to accept both sides. My response, yes. You live with a person who is a whole system. It is a whole world through which you must see everything else. Question, if this is how we live, tiptoeing around each other, then is it possible to be together for 60 or 70 years? Answer, as long as you want. Question, and you call this a happy marriage? Answer, only if we were brought up this way. Unfortunately, by the time we realize this, our life has gone by. Question, another couple aged 90 and 91 years old who have been married for 66 years say it is essential to discuss their joint future and to have common interests. What do you think about discussing the future together? Is it important? Answer, it is important because it is a joint future. Question, is that the key that it is not his or her future, but it is always us, in it together? Answer, yes. We are going to have our children or grandchildren come to visit. Or we would go out, take a walk around the block, and so on. Comment, as you said recently, when people get married, they say, we are forever united together. My response, they have to talk about it often. Question, is that what talking about a joint future is? Answer, yes. Because no matter what people do, they can live in different parts of the world, but they must share an understanding that they are united forever. Forever. Divorce is unacceptable when children are involved. Question, and yet another couple that has been married for 61 years say that there should be a similar sense of humor. What do you think about that? Answer, they must understand each other. Question, is this called understanding? Answer, yes. Because a sense of humor is very deep in a person. It distinguishes a person from an animal. Thus, if they have the same take on humor, it brings them much closer. Question, a 99-year-old husband and 98-year-old wife married for 74 years say they love each other just like that and consider our union truly harmonious. How do you feel about such views? Answer, they have no deeper definition than just like that. This is a pretty high level. It is, indeed. When there is a real connection and feelings, you cannot describe it with anything. Comment, and another couple married for 60 years say tolerance, loyalty to their vows, and being able to accept the other's point of view are important. Answer, this indicates they have not yet reached a real family if they believe it is necessary to be tolerant or faithful. They still have these definitions before them and they must fulfill them. While a true connection requires none of this. You are already so glued to the other half that you cannot even tell where one ends or the other begins. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, February 17, 2022. The world is not a bottomless pot. Question. You speak quite openly about many things. Are you not afraid of some kind of pressure by law enforcement agencies? Answer. No, on the contrary, the more people know me, the more open I am. The more I tell everyone and everywhere how to move forward and how I understand the universe, its movement, and its purpose, the more difficult it is to get close to me, to grab hold of me. I am like a naked person who is very difficult to grab. After all, I am not talking either about myself or about them, but about nature, about the world, and about the society we live in. There is nothing to hide here, time has changed. If earlier I claimed that a crisis was coming and everyone laughed at me, then later, when it hit them on the head, they stopped laughing. I said that everything was coming to an end because we exist on a planet whose territory is limited. We cannot always to develop in the form of consume and consume. We have already scraped out everything from the pot. What comes next? Nobody wants to think. Such a thought has never occurred to mankind, and now suddenly. Why do people become wiser? Due to the fact that they themselves see the bottom that they have reached. We got so deep to the bottom that today necessities are already a problem. And now there will be a problem to scrape energy and materials for the necessities for mankind. I used to say and keep saying that it is necessary to do something with the unemployed masses in advance. You will not find employment for them anywhere. Do you think that you can destroy them with drugs, family disintegration and so on? You will not be able to do this. It is a very long process, and nothing will come of it because you are going against nature. You are going against nature, not against society that you supposedly can somehow destroy. It will not work. But people do not hear. However, this does not mean that I should be silent. From Cab TV's I got a call. Protection from enemies, August 22, 2013. Michael Leitman, on Quora, I want to change myself. What should I do? If we understand that the most important aspect of our lives is to be with people who understand, help, love and appreciate us, then we need to cherish such an attitude as much as possible. By doing so, we sacrifice our I that always demands to suit itself, and we enter into an approach of wanting to learn how to love others. If the ones we try to love also have the same goal, then we can unlock a truly remarkable mutual feeling. The approach of learning to love should radiate over everything we do, and it needs to be nurtured. However, unfortunately, such education does not exist in society at large. Moreover, when we age and understand such a need, we no longer have the strength to realize it. That is why it is impossible to convey such an approach to the younger generation. They disregard us, and although we might try, we cannot get closer to them. Nevertheless, it is necessary to permeate the learning of how to love as much as possible into literature, schools, the media, entertainment, that society becomes saturated with connection-enriching learning. It will then become possible to achieve love for one another. Based on the video How to Change Myself, and Not Try Change Others to Suit Myself, with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Semyon Vinoka. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman.